The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talk Scary to Me.
Oh, I like Scary to Me.
Let's talk scary to me. I guess. Would you, what's that thing called where everyone's just whispering? What's that? There's like a name
it's a
for
thing.
It.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. We should.
It's like
it.
Initials.
I think I said this. We should do an episode where we talk like this. And we just see if
someone's really excited
it.
Right now.
It actually kind of gets me like feeling.
It does?
Yeah!
Maybe that's
like
gonna
that,
be your
like,
thing.
It gets me like I'm like.
Does
I'm
it
not
make
mad
your vagina
it.
Dance?
Does it make your? It makes my vagina dance.
Makes my vagina dance.
It's so crazy. We I need to do it. A movie where we're little like Southern girls.
Yeah, are, yeah. I'll do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's write it.
Let's do it. Let's do the whole episode like
oh
that.
Oh my God. Okay. So what's happening with you? What's happening?
What's happening
in the world?
With me? The world is falling apart. The world. I don't want to leave my house anymore.
The world always falls
Did
apart.
Did you see there was a whole thing on the news that the, I don't know, it was the head of the police here said, do if you want to come to Los Angeles, do not, that it is like the movie The Purge.
Yeah.
Literally.
Have I not been saying this? Has no one, I think you guys can all pick up interviews of mine that I literally say, if they, like, just the government was like, one day you guys can do crime, it would happen.
Yeah. But now it's like constant.
Like that would
it's
happen.
It's like this is the season where nobody gives a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
No one abides by the rules. No. People don't care about
happening?
The police. What is happening? It's a really scary time.
Yeah.
And I'm yeah. It's
if we
scary.
If we push the envelope here, we could really have some trouble. Like I feel like if every I mean, too many people are like joining forces and doing these crazy, crazy shit. And we're not uniting as one.
No.
We're not. So we're not going
it's all for
in, a,
one.
In a very good direction.
One for all, I guess.
Come on, guys. It's
I
just
know.
All just like
peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace
that's it.
And love.
Morals. Morals, right and wrong.
Morals.
Like
says the girls that all we do is talk about
yeah.
the naughtiest things ever. I have morals and values.
Yeah.
Just because I like to have sex. And I like to. Take edibles doesn't mean I don't have morals and values, Scout. Okay, so we've got some fun. Should we just jump into some cool things right now?
Let's do it.
So I really like this one. Well, this is actually kind of an well, are we gonna like have an intense conversation? Because I feel like there's some intense things that need to be talked about.
Sure, let's have an
because
intense conversation.
We have some fun, you know, naughty conversations, and then every once in a while we need to like keep it, you know, on the flip side.
Yeah, let's do it.
So first of all, let's there's a question I thought was interesting that I would like to answer. This person says, first of all, I just want to say that I love y'all. Thank you.
Thanks.
Rob Zombie's Halloween movies are my favorite. I guess
fuck
I have
yeah.
more of a love sex question. We have a 3-year-old girl.
Aww.
But then on our second pregnancy, we had a miscarriage. And I believe that was 6 months ago. But my wife wants another kid, so she's determined to have sex every day, which is exhausting for me to think about, LOL. Because at that point, I feel like I'm treating it like a job, and I feel like sex should not feel that way. Am I wrong for feeling that way? Please help.
Oh, yeah.
You
well,
know.
Yeah, I'll let you take this.
So both my kids are IVF babies, which means that we had tried for over a year, you know, checking ovulation and going to the doctors and da-da-da-da-da and the whole pills and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And we just weren't getting pregnant. So having to, you know, at first you're like, yeah, we're just married. This is, you know, of course you want to try to have a kid. And you're like, we're just going to fuck every day.
Yeah.
And then it is tiring on both parties. Mm-hmm. You're just like, this is not fun anymore. And I was trying to figure out ways to like make it interesting or make it fun. But he knew I was just trying to get some because we were trying to have a baby, you know?
Yeah.
So it does take a lot of the excitement out of it. And then every asshole that's like, just go on vacation. It'll happen. Don't worry. You're good. You know, I had a miscarriage before Carter. And
I didn't know that.
I did. Yeah. So I did two surgeries for IVF because we weren't getting pregnant on our own. I had done two egg retrievals, and we had four embryos in storage that were good at that point because we had them chromosomally tested.
Okay.
And then my grandma got cancer. Okay. I had some kind of infection, and so they couldn't, which I didn't even know I had had. I'd be treated on antibiotics before they would implant, but the timing was off and it wasn't helping. And I was taking these shots that weren't making it go away. And
oh wow,
it was a fucking nightmare. And then my grandma got cancer, and I was like, I'm done. I gotta go help save my grandma. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So I stopped everything, went down and like just took a break, mm-hmm. and took care of my grandma. And then it was like months later, we decided to get back into it. And I had this crazy like feeling that I just wanted to do it on my own. I was like, I just want to go backwards. Mm-hmm. I found a new doctor. I was like, I already have four embryos. I want to start over again.
Okay.
So I started with this thing called Clomid, which is pills. And then it just makes you produce a lot of eggs. And then you still do insemination. Like, it's still like turkey baster.
Oh, okay.
But they have to kind of time it properly because the medication makes you produce a lot of eggs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You drop, like, you're like, oh, you're going to drop, you know, quite a few. And then if you have sperm, then you could have like, that's how people get that's how people get eight babies. I took a break.
All the eggs.
Right. All the eggs. I had four eggs that were good. I had all these surgeries and they couldn't implant because I had an infection and they couldn't figure it out. I didn't even know I had one and whatever.
Yeah.
So I took a break and I came back and then we started I wanted to start over again. I was like, I want to try, see if I can just do it the right way this time.
Yeah.
You know, not like IVF is the wrong way, but I was like, in my mind, I thought, let me just go backwards because I think I jumped the gun really fast.
Yeah.
And like went like straight, was sold like the gold package and mm-hmm. went right into like the hardcore.
Yeah.
So we started over again, timing ovulation, going in and checking if I was ovulating. And then we ended up, you know, we did turkey baster essentially in the office.
Mm-hmm.
When he knew I was ovulating.
Oh, so you had to do it in the office.
They did it in the office.
Oh, okay.
They did insemination in the office.
So I always see shows where they do in the bedroom. And oh, it's like
no.
Candles are everywhere and you're like, a turkey baster.
No, because they clean it and they take all the other stuff out that gets in the way of getting to where it needs to go, and then they put it in that way.
Because I know when us ladies go get checked, that shit's uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's, I feel like, if I remember correctly, for both, that it's like a catheter that goes through the cervix, and that's how it makes its way. Like, I've had some bad experiences with those catheters. Also, because I have a bent or tilted cervix or something, so it's very hard to get it through. I just had some like
no wonder
gnarly...
it's only a couple positions for you.
I mean I'm like, that one works. So we started over, so I ended up getting pregnant, and I found out when I was in Hawaii, and I was over the moon, and then I ended up having a miscarriage. Like, I think it was, God, I was 6 weeks, I think, 6 or 7 weeks. It was right like towards right before the next test was like the heartbeat, like, situation. And they know because they do your blood work and the numbers start going down. So they're like, yes, you're pregnant, but if the numbers don't double every couple of days, that means you're probably going to lose the pregnancy. So you're aware that it's probably going to happen.
What do you feel in your body? I'm very new to all this kind of stuff.
Well, I already felt like... For me, my sense of smell changed really quickly, and all I wanted was watermelon juice.
Really?
Yes. Okay. So when I started then, like, thinking something was going to happen, you don't know. I don't know if it's like you psych yourself out because you already know, or mm-hmm. because unless you're going through to a fertility doctor, you don't know that your numbers are going down. You don't know you're going to miscarry. You're just mm-hmm. kind of waiting it out, you know? Because you don't get to go to your regular OB until you're 9 weeks. So they mm-hmm. monitor you throughout everything before those 9 weeks. So knew I was going to miscarry, was just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
Essentially. So you're like, you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. Like, when's it going to happen? And then I was at work and I had my studio and I was working the front desk and I started bleeding. I was like, okay. Remember like closing up and being kind of just like, I was just jarred and came home and was in horrific pain. And I remember I had to go to a convention that weekend.
Oh my God, Danielle.
And I was Texas Frightmare, I think. It was really, really busy. And I was just like wearing a pad and, you know, just having a miscarriage while I was sitting there being, you know, taking pictures with everybody.
How long is a miscarriage?
It's probably different for everyone, but I think it was a couple of weeks where stuff
is
still happening.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
How did you feel? What does your mind, what is your body, like, what? Sorry,
I think
if this is too personal.
Like, checked out.
Okay.
You know, I think... I was just like, I remember telling my mom, like, I'm because she just moved back to LA. And I remembered I was waiting because it was Mother's Day and I wanted to tell her that I was pregnant on Mother's Day. And I waited. And then afterwards, I remember saying, like, I'm pregnant, but I'm miscarrying. And she was like, how do you know? You don't know that. You don't know you're going to miscarry. And I was like, I do know, Mom, because it's science. Like, there's a number that you have to get. It has to double. Otherwise, you could blah, 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 blah. So I ended up miscarrying. But, you know, the only reason why you miscarry is because there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Chromosomally, there's something wrong with the baby.
Yeah.
So it's God's way, I guess, of taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of how I sort of got through that process. So Rick Carter's my rainbow baby, essentially.
Yeah. How long did you guys wait until after to try? Did it cause anything between you and David? Like, was there any like sort of sadness that you saw on his end? I always wonder,
no,
like, with the men, like, what do they feel?
I don't, that's a good question to ask him, I think. I think he's just was sort of waiting for my cue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to talk about it with her until she brings it up, or I won't make it a conversation piece unless she wants to talk about it. Let's just kind of go about our day. And, you know, it's like when you see someone that someone's passed away that you're like, do I say something? Is it wrong if I don't say something? Mm-hmm. How do I really go about this situation?
Yeah.
So I think that was sort of what was going on, but we never really talked about it after that. But I know that, you know, that like, I think it's 3 months I had to wait. That's what it was, is that it was such a clusterfuck going through that. Infertility is just such a big deal.
I bet.
And I remember Chrissy Teigen, when she came out about having IVF, it was like a big deal because people weren't talking about it.
Yeah.
Even when I got pregnant with Carter 5 years ago, nobody was talking about it. And I actually went with my old manager at the time to pitch an idea to VH1 about following, because when I was going through IVF, there was nothing online
that I
could read.
Yeah.
Or there was not even like
no moms
a documentary.
Even online, YouTubes or anything. Yeah.
All there is Facebook groups
of
a bunch of hormonal crazy fucking people. Crazy women that are either can never get pregnant, have had numerous miscarriages, can't get the babies to implant. Like, it's very, very intense.
Yeah.
It's almost too much.
Too much, really.
When you're already going through everything, I was like, I just can't. I didn't know who to talk to, because unless you're going through it, you don't know.
I mean, I look at me. I don't have much knowledge with that. But
if you heard me talking to somebody else that's gone through IVF, it's like we're speaking a foreign language. But you know the language.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you never wanted to know.
You were the fourth woman that I've talked to in the past week and a half that has mentioned this.
Really?
That they've gone through this. And I had no idea.
How old are they? Did they get older?
Or did 30s, they do it young? 40s.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why crazy. People have been telling me, the girlfriends, like, freeze my eggs.
No, you don't freeze your eggs. Well, unless they're fertilized.
Yeah.
You only want to freeze embryos, not your eggs.
Okay.
Because I was going to freeze my eggs before I met David. And the doctor was like, you know, you're older, you freeze your eggs. Then by the time you thaw them out and then you have to turn them into embryos, then they, you know, the sperm and it's a much less likely chance that they're going to work.
Mm.
So you want to freeze an embryo that you already know is good.
Okay.
Like, all my kids were embryos.
I'm about to do all of this.
Do it. Freeze embryos.
Yeah. I'm about to do all of this.
Yeah. Put them in, you know.
Crazy.
I mean, that's then it doesn't matter. Then you're like, cool. But for your eggs, the thing is, if you freeze your eggs, then you think you've given yourself time.
Did you ever think when you were younger you were going to like sell your eggs? Remember those things? Where you're like, you can make $20,000 if you sell your eggs. And now we're like,
I know. My God.
It's just so funny. Sorry to interrupt the story, but.
I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
Man, that's brave in itself.
Well,
Danielle,
you know,
if you freeze something like that.
So if you freeze your eggs, just so people know, that are not fertilized, you think you're buying yourself all this time. And what happens is then you turn, you know, say you're not with anybody at 40 or you finally meet someone in your late 30s, early 40s. And you're like, okay, well, I didn't find somebody or I've got these eggs. I bought that time. And then you try to implant and fertilize them. Then it's, what if that egg wasn't tested and it's not normal?
Huh.
Then you're like, okay, cool. Well, all those eggs that I froze that I thought I had 10 years bought of time or 5 years or whatever it is are actually not usable. And then how are you going to go through an egg retrieval in your 40s? You're not going to get any.
Yeah.
It's going to be very hard to get good eggs.
Crazy. I'm 30, turning 33. So I have to like start thinking
like
about
years.
This stuff because well, that's kind of when I want to have kids.
2 years, yeah.
But I kind of have this thing that I pregnancy is not going to be easy for me.
Don't start saying that stuff.
I know. But there's reasoning behind it.
Have you ever gotten pregnant before?
No. But I also, this is too personal, yeah. I think, for me for it to share. But there's reasoning why I'm like, ooh, maybe I should like start looking into this. Because, you know, I thought I was going to have a kid like in my 20s. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to have a kid in my 20s. And now, where I'm at right now, I want to make sure that I'm completely stable until I have a child.
Yes.
I can't be one of these people living in an apartment and taking care of a kid.
No.
I can't do that.
So, and you can't work when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Not doing what you do.
I know. But I'm honestly, I can't wait to take a break and have a baby.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Great. I think maybe when I go down to directing and like creating a TV show.
Yeah, for sure.
That's about the time.
Yeah.
That I'll be able to do it.
But the thing is, if you're directing, that takes more of your time. If you're acting, you can have a nanny and you can go to set and you come back. Do your job.
Nanny,
and you go
back. I don't think I can do that.
You just have someone help when you're. My nanny didn't do shit, but like hold my baby while I go to work real quick and then I'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was never like, no one's raising my kids.
I think when we were leaving a con, there was a woman and a man. No. It was when I was leaving Hawaii. There was like obviously a rich couple and their baby. The baby did not want the parents.
Oh, no.
Did not want the parents.
Oh, yeah. No.
Wanted the nanny. The entire time. And then Annie was speaking like Spanish to the baby and like could clearly understand it. But like when the baby was with the mom, it was like a monster. It was so weird.
You know, I think it's babies like pick dynamic. Up on that stuff. And maybe she's got some postpartum.
Maybe.
And
no,
maybe
she wanted the baby. She wanted the baby.
But maybe the baby's picking up something in her. Usually when a baby doesn't want its own mother, there's something going on that's way deeper than the
you
baby
see,
senses.
So you see how well I am with kids.
Oh, yeah.
I love kids. Oh, I love kids so much. Babies don't like me.
My babies always liked you.
But little babies. Little babies don't like me. I've had to work with a couple of little babies. Maybe because I'm scared. I'm just so...
Maybe.
Definitely. They're like horses. They're horses. Well, yeah, man. Like the neck. Like, you know, like little kids, I can throw them fucking on my shoulder around or
but
whatever.
But baby babies usually just want their mom because they're smelling milk.
Oh, my God.
That's all.
I think that's why I get so terrified because I'm like, kids love me. But for some reason, one-year-olds and two-year-olds are unsure of me. I don't know what to do with these things.
You're also like, I'm Scout. Yeah. Maybe they're like, what's going on?
They're like, get away from me.
It's possible.
Damn, I'm so glad that you shared that, honestly.
Yeah. I was just saying, I pitched this idea to VH1 because I couldn't find anything on it.
Yeah.
I was like, what if we followed real stories of IVF?
They do Teenage Mom.
Right?
Like, what?
Why can't? Because there's
they
one in eight
have
couples
those stories on there now. They probably
maybe
took some of your ideas, and it's probably on.
They only wanted something to do it if the people that were going through it were 80s or 90s like has-been stars.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Wow.
I was like, well, I don't know if there are any other like has-beens like me that are going through this.
Oh shit.
But they kept saying, well, what happens if they don't get pregnant? Well, what's the ending of the story?
That's a story. That's
like,
the
there's,
ending.
There's,
like, that's, oh my
there's,
God.
There's IVF. There's artificial insemination. There's surrogacy.
Yeah.
There's adoption.
What's the
there's
end of the story?
There's many different, I was like, when I watch The Real Housewives, you don't know that someone's going to, like, what's going to happen to their lives at the end of the season. You are watching the story unfold. And then you're getting to what you don't have it written unless they do. And I'm just, you know, so I was like, okay, this is not what I was trying to do. And I thought I had a good story to tell. And,
damn,
you know, and then a celebrity started coming out talking about IVF. And I was like, okay, at least the word's getting out there. But it's still a very taboo, weird, secret, you know, thing that I don't want my kids to, like, my kids were made. I do have this is too personal, but I'll share it anyway. you know, so what happens is when you're having surgery, you're going in, you're going under, right? You've been shot up with all these drugs for weeks and weeks at a time, and you've got like 20 eggs instead of one, so you feel like a hen. You look like you're 4 months pregnant. You're going in for surgery. They're going to take them out. They're going to put them in a dish, and your partner or donor, whatever your decision is in the other room doing their business, and you're out, you know, you're under anesthesia, and then they take the sperm and they clean it, and then they do what's called ICSI, I-C-S-I, where they take the best sperm from the under the microscope, and they insert it with a needle into the egg.
Whoa.
So they're making it get
science
in there. So you can choose to not do ICSI, and then you're just putting all of the sperm around the egg in the dish, and then it has to make its way in and get through the shell.
Okay.
But it's not a guaranteed thing, where when you're doing ICSI, it's extra money, but you know that they're picking the strongest swimmers with the best tails that look the best, that have the most like rounded whatever, mm-hmm. and they're putting it in. And then it has to sit for like 6 days to Whoa. Grow, and half of them die and half of them grow.
Whoa.
They mutate and they become 6 days, and then what they do is they take a piece of that and they test it, and they test it for abnormalities.
Uh-huh.
And it's taken from it. It's the egg is fro the embryo is frozen, and then out of, you know, say if you pull 20, maybe 13 survived out mm-hmm. of the that got fertilized. 13 survived, and then you test 13, and then you have like one or two that are actually normal, not abnormal.
Okay.
And because they're testing chromosomes, they know, you know, if it's male or female.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is fucking crazy to me.
So you're like, how many boys, how many girls? Yes.
Oh my God, I know when one of my best friends like did this with his wife, and they were like, yeah, we have like two boys and one girl, and I'm just like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean you have two boys and one girl? You can
but
just
when
pick
you do
one.
When you do a fresh transfer,
uh-huh.
you can't test.
Okay.
So you're just like rolling the dice essentially, and then if there's an abnormality is when you have a miscarriage. So it's not not affordable to like
That's
go
what I
get
was
it tested.
Ask. Do you feel comfortable sharing? Like, what is the price of something this? Like, the fact that we have to pay for to be pregnant and stay in a hospital and give birth. Like,
you know,
some insurances
cover this, though.
Really?
Not our insurance, not in this state, not SAG. They don't want you having a baby.
Wow.
They're not going to give you money to go get pregnant.
That's fucking
nuts. Then you can't work.
That's nuts.
It's six figures for each kid.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Because nothing is covered. Yeah. So, you know, every time you go in, it's like insanity. I think it's like $30,000 for one surgery, essentially. And then you have another. Then you have to do the implant, which is like a whole other $30,000 or $15,000 or whatever it is. And it's not, nothing's guaranteed, you know?
Yeah, that's so sad.
So I was like, I'm going through all of this. I don't want to put in a fresh transfer because I already had a miscarriage. So I don't want to have another miscarriage. And then how many times can you put yourself through that? But there are women that do,
yeah.
You know, because testing the embryos was like another, you know, $10,000 or something and completely insane. So you really have to weigh it and figure out like, how badly do I want
that breaks
to have
my
a family?
Heart. That breaks my heart. That
it's horrible.
That breaks my heart.
But you know, I was working so much
yeah.
that it was really my representation that was like, you can't stop now. Like, you have to, like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Women have babies into their 50s. And then you start going, okay. And I didn't meet anybody. Mm-hmm. So I waited, but I waited a lot too long. Yeah. You know, I mean, I started at, I think we were 37, 38 was when I was like just finally starting to try. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh fuck, now I'm 38 and like it's not happening. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
Thank God I had money saved. My husband had money saved, so we were able to
Would
to
you
do
ever
it.
Have adopted if you guys couldn't?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean that's almost as expensive.
Yeah.
You know, you're still probably spending $80,000 to $100,000 to adopt.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Yeah.
So what do you do if you don't have money?
Like, I know,
if you don't have, like, how do you, it's horrible.
It's so horrible. It is so horrible. And then you have to, you have to be able to take care of them after you spent the $150,000.
It's crazy. It's just, but I would have spent my last dollar. It's probably yeah. not, you know, my kids are my life. So I would yeah. have spent my last dollar, but I'm super fortunate. Not a lot of people are, but yeah. there are insurance companies that do take care of it, but there are other ways, but I know how fucking hard it is to, mm-hmm. to do it. So to answer our question, from our dude that wrote in, yeah,
and he did he submitted a
help.
Video, yeah,
yeah. He said, not this one. This
oh,
was
sorry,
the
sorry.
Other. This was the other guy. It shouldn't feel like a job, but it
yeah.
is. And you just got to be there for your woman, and you've mm-hmm. got to, like, you know, sometimes we don't want to talk about it because we don't feel like you guys want to talk about it. And it's a hard thing to bring up. So I think if, you know, how many times I cried in the bathroom by myself when I would get my period when I wasn't pregnant after trying and trying and trying. It sucks. And I know yeah. every woman that's been through that can relate.
Yeah.
When you're like, it's me, it's me, it's me. Another one, another one, another one.
But to like put it with him, like, because that's why I was so curious about, like, did David ever say anything about, like, do you remember him saying, like, this is hard, like, this is, you know, because he's saying in that.
He was saying basically exactly what this man is saying, that he didn't want, it couldn't just be on my time. It wasn't like, let's go. Like, he was getting pissed.
Yeah.
That it was like, and I was trying to, like, make it fun and, yeah, you know, like, hey, baby, you know, like, yeah, doing fun things and naughty things and not making it like a job, but it had to be. It was like, what am I supposed to do? I remember he came and flew to Florida when I was doing a movie because I was ovulating, and I was like, fuck, I'm gonna be ovulating when I'm there. And I'm like, he came, and then I got pissed off because he just had, like, broke his, he, like, had to have hand surgery or something, and he was, like, sleeping, and I was like, you came down here to, like, we came down to have sex, and, like, I don't, what, and you're, like, being, yeah, an asshole because you don't feel good, and, like, forget it, this isn't fun, and I don't want to do this. And
man.
But I was saying, the funny flip side of it is, I was so like, you can't go into the little room off when I'm, like, under anesthesia and I need your sperm to, like, they need to use it.
Yeah.
You can't be watching porn. And I'm not going to use that cum for our baby.
Oh my God.
Of another woman. Like, what? If, I mean, it's like, you're looking at another woman.
Wait, did he not? Oh, okay. It's his imagination. Did you make a video for him?
I did. It was the only time that I was like, I will never do this again, but I'm going to make a video with you, obviously. And this is what I want you to watch when you're
good.
In the room, because I want you to get off to me, and I want that to be what makes our babies. That was my only, like, weird thing that I had.
Okay. That's great.
So I did it. And then both my kids came from that one.
Wow.
Yes, we just actually got rid of our other embryos about 8 months ago. Yeah, I had two or three girls and a boy. I was holding off to see if I wanted to have a girl, but I didn't want to have a girl. So, and I honestly, I love my kids so much.
Yeah.
I don't have any more love. Like, I'm out.
Yeah, I've heard you say that. Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what I can't split myself in half any more than I already do.
Yeah.
Someone would fall short. That's and
responsible.
I don't want to do
That's
it.
Responsible. Yeah, somebody would. somebody would resent you.
And you know, if they were just eggs, I would have donated them. But they're embryos,
yeah.
So I can't. I just because you can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't to science, and you're like, you just don't know if your kid's going to end up out there, and they're going to sell it on the black market, and
my
like
God.
You just don't know.
Oh my God!
All of a sudden, I do 23andMe, and I have a child somewhere.
No, you have six.
Well, then I'd have a daughter, and somebody else would have to deal with her ass. So, speaking of children, so I wish you well, and I hope you get pregnant, and
it'll be worth it, obviously.
Yeah.
It'll be worth it, all this.
I know it's a job. Just know it's just as hard for her. It's just as much of a job for her as you're feeling, if not worse, because she feels responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it doesn't happen, you're like, it's my fault.
Aww.
So, it's very hard. So I have much empathy for you. And sympathy. Empathy or sympathy? I'm not sure what the right
sympathy.
Word is. Sympathy.
And empathy.
Yeah,
and
both.
Empathy, yeah.
So somebody else with a baby.
With a baby.
Had this question. I'm just going to go ahead and play it.
See.
Hey, guys. So I'm sitting here with my 10-month-old son today. I'm just wondering, when do you think it's appropriate to show them horror movies?
Ooh.
Not horror movies. Horror.
Horror
movies. Well, when start them very that? Young.
When did you see your first horror movie?
When I was really, really young. I just saw my uncle the other day, actually, and he brought up that he had a Michael Myers mask that he would. When I stayed at my grandma's, there was like a sliding door, and he lived up in the basement, and he would come down, and he would just have the Michael Myers mask, and he would just stand. Yeah, he would stand by.
Did you not remember the story?
I do, but I forgot. I guess I forgot
about
it. I know. And he would just scare me with the fucking mask. But I was like 8 or something. So I think my uncle and my mom were very much into horror movies. So I think they both showed me it when I was really, really young. But I also,
too young.
I grew up in a mortuary. So I feel like.
I wonder if we could show Carter maybe a scene from our movie.
You think?
That's not hardcore, just of you and I together.
Oh, like maybe. Well, trying to think of
this
a scene.
This doesn't have bad language.
I mean, us walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah, but
that's
more like
fuck you,
pussy, my dad is the sheriff.
Okay, I think any other scene though is like you're
what
dry
about when
humping
I'm
me on the wall.
Yeah. When Rob came up with that, I was like, okay.
The other scene we're fighting in all the movies. There's no scene in those two movies that are nice.
Well, what about the scene, the breakfast table scene?
The breakfast. No, I in literally Halloween 2. She sits there in her fucking chair. Oh. I literally am like cursing at you the entire time.
He'll just say bad word scout. That's bad word scout. That's bad word scout.
He'll probably be scared of me after he sees that. We cannot show him that. He loves me right now, Daniel.
Because like he'll like want to see me on stuff and then he wants to go, where's scout? It says scout. Like he wants to see it so badly. Oh. I just don't know. I would love to see
Wait, there's a scene. But Michael Myers is shown. It's when we're in the schoolroom. And I'm like, guys, that guy's sitting out there. That guy's standing out there.
But he might like to see that. We'll be like, look, see, he's fine. Funny.
He's a friend.
He's our friend.
Because I think you're just like, I want to, you babysit for me. Yeah. Okay. I think we can show that one. Oh, my God. That would be fun.
Just see what he thinks.
What was the question?
How old is two, like, what age?
Dude, you know, this is one thing that I do kind of wonder when we do go to these horror cons.
Yeah. Are they making these kids watch them?
Yeah. And I see these young kids.
I know.
You know, I'm like,
but I know my kids, like when they are seeing something that they know they shouldn't be watching, they get excited about it. Mm-hmm. So they like want to see it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going on sometimes.
When do you think you'll let yours see horror movies?
Oh God, when they're sleeping in their bed already, my kids are not sleeping in their bed all night.
Oh.
So like maybe when they finally are like sleeping in their bed all night, when I know that like they're maybe not going to want to come get in bed with me for the next year.
Oh no, they're going to fucking come get in your bed after you show. That's going to backfire. That's a backfire.
Maybe like 9 or 10 when like they don't want to get in bed with mom.
Yeah.
Even if they're scared.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool with coming and looking in the closet and under the bed, but, like, get out of my bed.
It's so funny because, I mean, I don't have kids, but I have helped raise a lot of children.
You have.
And a lot of them start at 8 and now they're 18.
Oh, my God.
It's so funny when it gets into that age range where you don't matter anymore and you're like uncool.
I know that
they're not my own, but I'm like, oh man, that stings. When is that going to happen?
Yeah.
Then I think about Carter and I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be an age.
Jagger too. Jagger's like, mommy, don't sing.
Oh.
I'm like, what?
What do you mean don't sing?
Why can't I sing? I don't know why. He's like, mommy, don't sing. Carter's like, mommy, you can sing all you want. I'm like, okay, of course. Carter's like, I need a hug, Jagger. Carter's like, I'll give you a hug, mommy.
Jagger's little Pisces.
Like, don't touch me.
Little Pisces, man. Oh my God. Love and affection.
Love and affection. Okay, so let's see. Oh, so this is something that actually I know you're probably way more apt to talk about because my taste in music is very different than yours. So they would like to know, this question is, I'd really like to hear about your music tastes and your thoughts on the relationship between horror and music.
There are
a lot of bands out there like Misfits and Cradle of Filth that write horror lyrics and make music videos that are basically mini horror films. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. Why, thank you. They really go hand in hand.
They definitely do. They've been going hand in hand for years. I mean, just look at Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
You know, his music videos are like his mini movies, mini horror movies. I see it a lot less now than I used to see it back in the day.
Yeah.
I know a buddy of mine in Ice Nine Kills, he's starting to like do little mini like horror movies and like start to going to like the originals, which is really cool. But a lot less now than what it used to be with Misfits and Dead Kennedys and NOFX. They used to do that kind of stuff all the time. And even Rob's like latest videos, they're kind of a little bit
more tame
and toned back.
Do you think it's because the world's falling apart?
Probably. Probably.
I'm actually going to go shoot a music video next week.
Are you really? What are you doing?
This is going to come out after the fact. But so one of my buddies, Jeremy Spencer, had a band. It was a drummer and band called Five Finger Death Punch that I did a music video for a million years ago.
Cool.
And we stayed friends through social media. And he's got he's on his own now doing his own thing. And he's got these videos. So, of course, it's like, you know, they're horror.
Oh, they're all horror stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's so again it like goes hand in hand. I was like, what am I doing? What am I gonna do in it? Like, what do you want me to do? And he's like, oh, you're crawling on the floor, trying to like grab people, like to kill them when they're sleeping. I'm like, okay, got it. But you want you to be look sexy, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Got it.
Because I was like, we gotta collaborate.
That's
on
so
something.
Funny because I think that every couple of music videos that I've been asked to do, when I was rolling around in that scene when I was dating a couple musicians back in the day, a lot of like their bandmates' friends would be like, oh man, would you do my music video? And it would be like, you're being a zombie, you're like a sexy zombie.
So they kind of coincide with one another.
Yeah, well now musicians are signing at cons.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
I just spent a lot of time with Alice Cooper.
Yeah,
he's
me too.
Awesome.
Amazing,
I love Alice.
I know.
He's so great.
So cool.
And his wife is so cool too.
And Dee Snider, like Dee they're
Snider,
all.
Lita Ford was just at the con. Yeah.
Yeah, they go, they rock and roll and horror. Like it's sort of a thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Pick it from both sides, guys.
I'm like obsessed with Dateline.
We both are.
I was watching, you know, I was on the plane yesterday and I was watching this documentary and it was like, you know, true crime. I almost got away with murder, like all those shows, you know. And I was watching this one. It was a UK case about this doctor that had killed like hundreds and hundreds of patients.
Oh, they're making a Hulu series about it.
They are?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know how he got caught.
I don't remember how he got caught.
What happened was is he would sign their death certificate that they were to be cremated. And it was all old women, all in like one little community. He was like the house call doctor. Like one community, totally like it had been hundreds of people. And he got caught because at the end, this one woman that he killed. And they also said like all the people that were found when they were found, because it was all like old age. Old age. But a lot of them were in good shape. They're all in their 80s, but they were fully dressed, like ready for their day. Where apparently that isn't a very common thing. Like when you die of old age, you're not like sitting on the couch with your cup of tea and just croak.
No.
So he'd been giving them, he's been injecting them with something. And then cremating them, and you would need like another doctor to sign off. So he would go to the clinic across the street from him and get the other doctor to sign off so they could be cremated, so they could never test the body to see that he was doing anything. And how he got fucked this last time, when he finally got put away, was he wrote her will on a typewriter.
What in the?
And then left everything to himself. signed her name.
You don't think that that's gonna be fishy? That's gonna look like anything? Why is this woman giving a doctor all of her
things?
And
she had like kids and grandkids.
Oh my god, he's a moron. He needed to get caught. Moron.
Yeah. And they went to his when they went into his house, they actually got the typewriter.
Whoa.
That he used, and he said he tried to say that she borrowed it from him to write her will.
Oh my
God. And her daughter is a lawyer. Her daughter's like, my mom changed her will without using me. Like I'm her daughter and I'm her lawyer.
Oh
this is
God.
Not, this is really dumb.
Dumb. How long had he been doing this for? Like
30 years.
How do you not know? In like, especially
hundreds.
A small community. How do you not know? There had to have been
the doctors, I guess, across
were,
the way.
Yeah,
once they all started talking,
I want to know.
Across the way, they were like, okay, he's come to our office 3 times this week for us to sign a death certificate. When they had not that many patients that have died in like a year as he was having in a week. He was known as like Dr. Death because all of his patients were dying.
Do you know that there's a lot of doctors with that title?
But do you wonder
there's
if
there's a
maybe...
lot of doctors with that title. A lot of doctors. And it's interesting being in that field. What is it with the do they feel power? You know, like what is it? Like a lot of people like also too.
I wonder if he do you ever think like they think they're helping? Like if someone was sick, I understand. But I don't know, like, how where do you stand on, like, if you knew you had a short amount of time or somebody was in pain, like, how do you, the self-euthanizing, like, it's legal in certain states, so I always wonder, like, do you want to wait until you get really, really sick? If you are sick, you know, and have to put your family through that. I mean, I remember my grandma had cancer for a while and we were like, my God, I can't watch her just wither away. And how are you not taking her?
Yeah, what was she feeling? What did she want?
She wanted to die.
Yeah, shit.
She was like, she couldn't eat, she couldn't stand, she couldn't drink, she couldn't do anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was like a skeleton. Yeah. And we were like, how is she living? And she just... It was horrible to watch it happen.
I guess not. I mean, I recently just went through something with my uncle where he was at a hospital where he went in for heart surgery walking. And then he slowly like withered away because the hospital had given him an infection. And we later found out that actually was a wrong ruling and it wasn't an infection.
What was it?
They gave him too much blood thinner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We found that shit out.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That caused what looked like a bleed. So they made up this fucking big lie that it was a stomach ulcer that erupted and they couldn't figure out where it was. But I literally came face to face with a doctor that looked at me and said, we won't do anything for him. We won't do the heart surgery because he'll die on the table.
They don't want that.
So you just have to get him comfortable and he's going to die. Pretty much. And we're like, well, move his ass to another fucking hospital.
Right.
And then once we moved him, they did the heart surgery. And
the thing is,
survived.
You've got to be an advocate for yourself.
Yes.
You have to bitch and yell
and
moan.
So to answer your question, I don't think that I would have sat there.
Yeah.
Because I looked at that bitch and I was like, no, that's not going to happen. Right. So we're going to do this and this and this that's and I'm taking him out of here.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would have that bone in my body to be like, what do you need? What do you need?
Right.
What do we need to inject something? But I mean,
what
fuck,
if they
I don't
want
know.
It?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I never understood. Like,
wasn't there a movie about that? That
yeah,
was like,
yeah, it was with Julianne Moore. I think I watched it. And I always watch his movies in the plane. I'm like, I'm the one in the corner by the window, like
watching the depressing. Yeah, I always do that too. You and I are very similar with
my
this
Chardonnay.
And what we watch, we could have just shared a room at these cons because
oh
we watched the same
God,
shit
Jesus.
48 hours.
Fucking love that. And now I've been listening to like Dateline podcasts.
Oh my
and
God,
just,
they're so good.
Just so
they're
good.
So good.
You know, and we always talk about like homicide detectives and stuff. And I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Joey from Okeechobee. Joey's awesome.
Hi, Joey.
Joey wanted to know what particular case got you interested in true crime.
Ooh.
Would you ever want to act or direct a movie based on a true case or maybe a documentary?
Yes. We kind of touched base on this a long time ago. And I think that maybe we should, I mean, fuck, we both like this kind of subject.
Yeah, we should explore it a little bit because I'm interested. I like talking about it
Same.
And finding stuff out.
Same. What would you guys think about us like adding some true crime
conversations?
Stuff in this?
I just need cases. Like, send us. I want to know. Like,
send
who,
us cases.
You know, I did this this show for E years ago called Hollywood Death Trip.
Yeah,
where I went around investigating in Hollywood, like all of the horrific crimes
Crazy.
That have happened and murders, and you know that Ashton Kutcher story, which
yeah.
we should actually talk about
yeah.
that on our next podcast because it's crazy. Ashton was dating this girl. Getting ready to take her to an event he went to her house to pick her up with the car and knocked on her door and nobody answered and he saw what looked like red wine on the carpet and it ended up being her blood. Somebody had broken into her house and stabbed her like 50 something times.
Oh my God. Okay, save that. Yes, we're gonna talk about
Could
that.
Could you imagine like what if he
no.
got there right when it was happening?
Oh, I have a crazy story about somebody. Oh my God.
Save it. We'll talk about it on another one.
We're
but
gonna
to answer
this.
Your question, Joey.
Yes.
We have like 5 minutes left.
Yes.
I'll wrap this up with what got me interested is the story about my dad, which nobody knows,
mm-hmm.
is my dad died when I was 7. He died in a car accident. But there's all kinds of suspicious weird shit around the car accident situation.
I remember you saying this. Mm-hmm.
So my dad and my godfather, Chris, and his best friend, Jimmy, I think was his name, all went to a game at Madison Square Garden together. My dad drove them from Long Island over to the city. They parked their car. They got out. They went to the game. My dad had been in a car accident a year prior to that and had a really bad back. So it was pain pills and like it was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
He was always very uncomfortable. My mom and dad were divorced at the time. I was actually in New York for the 10 days before this happened. And I went home 5 days early because I missed my mom.
Okay.
I was supposed to be going to the game with my dad.
Oh, man. Okay.
So my dad called his – my dad got up. This is a story that I was told. My dad got up – and the story's kind of changed over the years a little bit. He got up at halftime, I guess it is, made a phone call to his girlfriend.
Okay.
And told his girlfriend that he couldn't meet her for lunch the next day because he didn't know where God was going to put him.
What?
He left Madison Square Garden. He left his friends there.
He just randomly left them. Did he tell them?
Nope.
Hmm.
And he bailed. And he...
Does it sound like your dad?
Does
it sound like something he would do?
He drove them there.
Yeah.
How are they going to get home?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he died in, he got into a car accident on the way to wherever he was going, which was not the direction of his home. He lost control of his car. He was not wearing his seatbelt, which is weird because he was always wearing his seatbelt. And he hit the guardrail on the driver's side and his car hit it and then ricocheted to the other side of the freeway. And then he went out the passenger window. Halfway out the passenger window.
Oh, damn.
And then I guess somebody found him like in the, you know, 2 a.m. or whatever it was, and reported it and all that. But the odd thing is that when I was there visiting him, he would say things to me like, you know, if anything ever happens to Daddy, you're going to be a rich little girl. He made out his will 10 days before he died.
What?
Yeah. So I know my dad was doing kind of shady things. I know he was a bookie. I know he was gambling. I think he was maybe taking from Peter to pay Paul. I remember he would have these like black and white marble composition books with all of the bookie, all of the races and horses and whatever shoved behind his bed with his Marlboro Reds because he wasn't smoking in front of me. But of course he was like, since I go to bed, he would like smoke cigarettes. So I think... maybe he was doing some shady shit. And I think when he got up during halftime to call his girlfriend, maybe he called somebody else first.
Okay.
This is my fantasy.
I thought that maybe somebody saw him.
Well,
that he owed money and he was like booking it out of there.
Could be.
You know?
I'm
just seeing a movie moment.
Well, that's what happened
like
is
someone's
that
chasing him or
so
something.
So remember when I told you that story about my writing partner was his roommate's girlfriend was banging, was hooking up. They weren't having sex. I don't think they were hooking up with Kevin Dillon. So the story that I was writing was called Andrea's Story, which is my middle name, and it was about the story in my script was this girl turns 21 and she always thought her dad had a car dealership because my parents had a car dealership. And when she turns 21, this lawyer contacts her in the story and tells her, you need to come to New York to get this lockbox and you have inherited all of this money. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
Where'd all this money come from?
Yeah.
My dad had a car dealership. Like he wasn't rich by any means. So she's got like hundreds of thousands of dollars in this lockbox with stuff in it that she has to sort of figure out what it is. And it's her way, her dad's way
don't
of telling
steal
her,
this.
Don't you dare, or write it for me and I'll start making my story. And it would be a way for her. So throughout the story, she figures out that her dad didn't die. He was murdered. And she starts uncovering that it's these big mafia, these mob guys.
Yeah.
And she keeps getting like threatened, like she's at the hotel and then someone slips something under the door that says like, here's a plane ticket, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And she finds out that it's her godfather that's like, because I'll ask my godfather, like I'll sit with him and my dad's friends as an adult and say,
Tell me what the fuck
what happened. And they just won't. And I remember when I was...
They won't?
But it's the same story.
And they won't even say, there's something.
They think that my dad's back was hurting him, so he didn't want to be a bother, didn't want to make them leave, so he just decided to leave. I think that he went to make a phone call, and he got asked to go somewhere or do something for someone. And he knew that his number was going to be up.
Hmm.
Like he was, and he didn't want to take them and have them be a part of something in case there was something bad that was going to happen to him.
Yeah.
So he left them there. And then he called his girlfriend and said, I don't know where God's going to put me. I can't meet you tomorrow. And he died. So either something was done to his car. Again, he was cremated. So who knows if there's a body. I mean, or he's in like police witness protection. Like maybe, you know, I always wonder, like, is there, I've said stuff to my godmother, like, you know, I always have this fantasy, like, I'm going to be like driving down the street one day and like, I'm going to see like my dad. And she would say things like, well, crazier things have happened.
Get the fuck out, Danielle.
I swear to God. And then like, you
know. Do you think that your dad would like come find you? Like you, if that was, like, do you think that at some point?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, you know your father.
I don't know my father. Yeah.
Damn, man. That is nuts. That is crazy shit.
So I wonder, you know, so I've always, every time like I work
there's
somewhere.
There's too many weird things that people are saying to you. Like, there's too many weird things that don't add up there.
And mind you, I was definitely not rich. My scumbag of an aunt was my guardian of my dad's estate for me. And she spent it all. So when I turned 18, I got $5,000. So yeah. Definitely wasn't rich. And she's, and then when I was 18, again, and my godmother was the one that identified his body, by the way. So she signed. So when she's the one that says,
yeah,
weird things like that, you know, and I saw, I have, my aunt was so fucking crazy. They took pictures. Like when my aunt saw the car after the accident, she went with my grandpa, who was a cop, by the way. Uh-huh. And she worked for the courthouse. So when I tried to get like, where's the police report? Where's the death certificate? Where's the court docs?
How old were you?
7. Okay. When I was older, I started looking into this stuff.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's nothing. There's weird. Literally nothing. So they're like, well, it's 1985. Like, we don't have access to any of that stuff anymore. Okay, what about the lawyer that did the will? Oh, he died a year after your dad, he did your dad's will. Or what about this one? Or when I say to my godmom, like, what about this? And she's like, I know that your dad had a lot of money when he died. I don't know what he was doing, but I still think that there's some weird shit going on.
Do you
with
think it might
those
be family?
What do you mean?
Like, well, like what, who, your aunt, your aunt who took all the money or whatever? Like, I mean, I don't know.
Okay. I think she was totally unrelated. I think that like my dad's circle of friends might still be, they might still be doing.
I think your godfather is going to tell you like in his very last days.
You think so?
I think so. Or your godmother. I think so, for sure. 100%. You like,
I've been over there. Like, they're like family. Like, I bring my kids, you know? I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't say something.
I thought, like, God, I would love to. What if I could take the body out of the ground? Like, what if I go in there and there is no body in there? I mean, it's cremated, so it would just be if he's.
Yeah. Dude, that's crazy.
If I, like, took it out, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy.
So that's what got me interested in all of this stuff. It's that, like, little girl in me that's just so curious, and it's that unanswered. Yeah. Unanswered thing.
I mean, mine has to do with my father too, but I mean, I was raised in a mortuary. My dad was a coroner. So I was constantly, you know, bodies would be coming into the home, and a lot of them, you know, would be cases, unsolved cases. And my dad would have to figure out what happened. And, you know, I would see them and then learn like who killed this person and why, and read the cases and see the photos. And yeah, it was definitely, that's exactly what got me into it.
So interesting.
I like this. I think we should definitely add this to our
about it some more.
Yeah,
let's break down some stories. It's interesting because we only talk about horror movies so much. Maybe this will be like the horror section.
Yeah,
of what we
send us cases. Also too, JonBenet, that case.
Well, you know, I was in beauty pageants as a kid, so that case always fascinated me.
We're adding that to the list here.
Let's make a list. Guys, send us a list of who we should talk about.
Please, all cases, sizes, small, famous, not. Small town, big town, big cities.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah. Amazing. So awesome. I'm glad we discovered this.
Yeah. Creepy. So, Dad, if you're watching this.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this.
Come back.
Come find me.
Oh, man. Please. That's crazy. That's a fucking crazy story. Me. Holy shit. I had no idea.
Crazy.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Don't forget to subscribe and like. And if you want to watch our video, join our Patreon support. It's like $5 a month.
That's cheap.
Helps us make this happen, you guys.
Yes.
And all right. And peace out. Woo, woo, woo. This is like a... It's like a detective show, right?
Love
it's like a 70s.
I love it.
What would be the next Cagney and Lacey? Let's do it.